Now, just briefly looking at some of these question and answers, number 40, why was it necessary for Christ to suffer death? You read the Old Testament and you recognize that there is one who is going to give him life, his life as a substitution for sinners. This is what was prophesied in the Old Covenant, and Christ is the one who came in the New Covenant and declared himself to be the sheep or the lamb that would be slaughtered on behalf of his people. We recognize that as God has set forth in the Old Covenant, there was no remission apart from the shedding of blood. And it's the blood not of bulls and goats, but of the blood of one, the Son of God, who would come in the likeness of fallen sinful men. Now notice it's important that we understand the term likeness. It's not an identity. Christ did not become a sinner. He did not come as a sinner. He came in the likeness. And I've told you before, there is a Greek word there that's used in the debate in the early church about the full deity of Jesus Christ, whether Christ was fully God or was like God in every way possible, but not actually God. Well, this here is speaking about that Christ is like man in every way possible except for sin, where he doesn't come as a sinner. He doesn't come in that identity as a sinner, but he takes upon himself our sins. And he's punished in our place as if he had sinned all the sins of those given to him. That is the teaching of Scripture. That's by imputation. It's not by infusion. Sins were not infused into Christ so that he became a sinner. He was treated as if he was a sinner, but he was not. He was the spotless Lamb of God who had no blemish. He had no sins. If he had any sin, if he was infused with sin, he could not be our Savior. And so this is the testimony of Scripture. The satisfaction. Now notice what the Catechism says here. Very exclusive, isn't it? Satisfaction for our sins could be made in no other way than by the death of the Son of God. Now, can you think in Scripture where we find that crying out of Christ, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? The Heidelberg Catechism is simply teaching what has been taught in Scripture. There is no other way. It was very clear with Christ in the Garden. If there is any other way, he prayed to his Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's demonstrated that very clearly that there is no other way to have your sins removed. We have people today running all over the place trying to be right with God in what they do. They come to places what they call worship, and they come in their own righteousness. You think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. They come as the Pharisee, and they march right in, and they come in their own righteousness, in the things that they have done, and they are rejected by God. The ones that are accepted by God are those that come and cry out as the tax collector, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Be propitious to me. Provide for me an atoning sacrifice. No other way than by the death of the Son of God. 41, he was buried to show that he was really dead. 42, it's amazing that one there, it's so short, so brief. But there was heresies that were going on in the early church that said that Jesus really didn't die on the cross, that he just swooned. So in other words, that he was on the cross and that through the pain and through the suffering, basically passed out. They went into the tomb and the cool of the tomb revived him. You see, and then he came forth. That's not what the Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that he died and he was buried to show that he was dead. You don't bury someone who still has a pulse and who's still breathing. Because if he swooned, he's still breathing. So, anyway, pretty simple, but it's significant to understand that.